sheet now. So they've been pioneering this week. So you have a printed out sheet, so it looks a little bit better than this. And on one side, it has just the quarters. And on the other side, it has all of this filled out.
Secret number.
Do the proper password. So what I was saying, so we had, the two innovations that we've had this week is, number one is to have the standard printed out. So when they go away, they have it, so they have all the information, it looks a little bit better. We want them to draw it themselves, so they draw it themselves on one side, and when they flip it over, it has all of that stuff. And we find that it just reinforces what we're doing, because our model, we naturally have people that feel very comfortable talking to people about money, and we find that there are levels. Because of the system, we find that anyone can talk to anyone, which was really my goal. I wanted a situation where you always end up with sort of three types of people. You've got those very confident people that can talk big money. So I can talk to someone about $100,000, $1 million, or whatever. Okay, and then you have people who through this thing are comfortable talking to people about buying a, if they bought £1,000, £5,000, £10,000, £20,000, £30,000 worth of crypto. Okay, they feel really, really comfortable about that. And then there's everyone else. And everyone else has to feel confident about, number one, talking any form of money anyway, okay? And secondly, just being able to go, okay, let's get started, let's get you involved, let's get things. Because for us, it's a matter of we don't just want to be that very small group. You know, we don't want to target just the bigger money, even though it would be an easier life if we just did that, quite frankly. But that's not our business model. Our business model is to say, hey, look, we want to embrace all three types of people, because actually all three groups have the same economic value to us. Does that make sense? Yeah? That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've, the two innovations that we've had with things was, number one, splitting it up into four videos so if you're doing a presentation to a group of people, and this was pioneered in a restaurant. Surf club restaurant, where just the back, but they just had a TV and just showed, you know, 2 minutes, stop, told the story, 3 minutes, stop, told the story, 2 minutes, stop, told the story, 2 minutes, stop, told the story, people really happy. And we have an extremely high strike rate, like extremely high. Because don't forget, we also have this situation where if someone likes what they hear but aren't ready to act now, you can give them a free account with 1,000 free coins, 1,000 free coins, which now has a value of
not a lot.
But they get the whole message, and it really works for them. Well, I've decided to take the finish date off it.
Yeah, because I was told, I got somebody on with that, and I was told the offer ended on the 6th of August, so I just wanted to
check. Yeah, I was going to.
Okay.
I was going to, and I've decided to take it off, because simply, it was designed as a campaign, because here's my view with this, all right? My view is really simple. I'm sure that this market will go into FOMO. And in FOMO, what happens when this mentality of fear of missing out hit in end of 2017? basically people who normally wouldn't come anywhere near this thing want to know how they could throw their life savings and sell their children to put money in this. So just the greed, and honestly, the greed of Get Rich Quick, which I have dealt with for 30 years, is nothing short of surreal. It's nothing short of surreal, and this market will go into that again. I saw it at the end of 2017, and the so what happened, to go into a little bit more detail. So basically, so Bitcoin was 2009, okay? Bitcoin was 2009, and it had a couple of little spikes. And then in end of 2013, it went up about 15 times to $1,200, okay? End of 2013, and then it dropped down to $200 at the start of 2014, okay? And then it did nothing. But 2014, 15, 16, and in 2017, at the start of 2017, it suddenly, the weird thing was the Chinese government banned it at the end of 2016, and everyone thought it was had it. And then what happened is in February 2017, the Japanese government made it a legal currency. And then what happened is this new coin called Ethereum suddenly became the hottest thing in Korea. And so by that time, and this was in March, so it then suddenly went bang in 2017, and then suddenly it hit by October, hit about 6,000. And don't forget, a lot of the people involved were sort of looking at the 200, then looking at about 1,500 at the start of the year, it's suddenly 6,000. Like, let's be honest, that's just crazy, right? For an asset, that's amazing. If property prices have gone up by 300% in 1 year, like, whoa, crazy. And then it suddenly, bam, spiked up to 20,000. And actually, from the middle of November, by the end of the year, it was hit 20,000. And my interesting thing was that I sold all the way. It hit up to about 17,000, 18,000, went down, then went up to 20,000, then went down to 18,000 again. And I sold all of my Bitcoin, my personal company, family, everyone's, at 17,600. And I sold it only because my oldest boy, I have three boys, my oldest boy, he turned 18 years old in July 2017, and they're hopeless to buy for 18-year-old boys. Like, and I said, I'll give you some Bitcoin. He went, oh, okay. So I gave him a couple of $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, and he goes, oh, I'm going to buy some more because the price went up. So I bought some. He put $1,000 of his own money. So he had $3,000 worth. And it hit by the start of, like, early December. He's going, and I'm going, all right, you little shit, Dad needs to teach you something. And I said, you need to learn to take a profit. Yeah. And I said, so I'm selling you Bitcoin whether you like it or not, okay? And everyone, my wife, everyone's going, oh, you know, you're crazy, it's going to go mad, because it's in FOMO. So everyone's going, oh, I have to buy some either. And the oldest rule of trading is when everyone's going, I'm buying, that's when you sell.
Right.
And I told him that, and for the first time in my life, because I'm normally going, yeah, let's get into it. And so, we sold, and the only reason I sold everything else because he goes, well, what if you're selling my stuff, what about yours? I went, yeah, obviously we're selling ours as well. What about the companies? Yeah, of course we're selling all that sort of stuff. And my wife's going, why are you selling? Now I find out I sold at the highest price of nearly anyone I've ever met. And then it was just overbought, so the market went down. And these sort of waves are perfectly normal. And let me show you something. this is part of. So what happens is markets then always evolve. These actually things are called strategic waves. Do you know why they're called strategic waves? It's because underlying them are a fundamental strategic model. And that strategic model lasts so long. And then a new strategic model comes in and does the next one. And the biggest mistake is people who were part of this, they do not evolve. And that's why you will meet endless people who I was in there at the start of that company, I owned a social media company, I owned blah, 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 dot-com boom, blah, blah, blah. Dot-com boom was about consumer internet. Well, I'll tell you that very, 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 very few consumer internet companies were actually part of the dot-com boom. And I know that because I was in the dot-com boom. Because it actually wasn't most places in the world. It was in New York and London. And I listed two companies in the dot-com boom. The dot-com boom was about communications, which provided the platform for the internet. And so the big famous consumer companies on the internet happened after this wave. They happened in the 2000s. Okay? Amazon was part of that, sure. But everything else would happen after that dot-com boom, and that funded the internet, which then created the platform, which all this stuff was created that we know, the consumer stuff, all the websites, all that sort of stuff. Because of that, 8 years later, at two companies, I used to be in telecoms in the UK, so Telecom Plus, but other things. And my wife got this job as the head of telephone, and you'll meet Vicky, because she'll come over and be part of Daxi in the UK, and because she's English and wants to spend more time over here. Because she's now realised that kids, once they leave school, don't really give a shit about you too much. She's a great mum, but you know, it's just this stuff happens. I forgot what I was going to say. No, I show people how I used to have my old Nokias. I've kept my old Nokias because they were on the internet. Okay. And Nokia was the star of, it was called the Nokia Communicators series, and they were flip up like this, and you could send emails, and everyone thought you were a technology genius.
Little brick.
Yeah, the bricks. Okay, and then you'd have it in your pocket, and people say, is that a communicator in your pocket? Or
no, you had a belt to put it on as well.
Oh, it's getting cool.
You show everybody you got a communicator.
Hey, I remember being in Finland and these guys going like this. And these guys going, I said, what are you doing? And they say, this is called SMS. I went, really? What is it? Because SMS was created by the children of Nokia engineers in Finland. Because it was created so Nokia engineers could communicate with each other. And then their kids, because it costs so much to use a mobile phone, they taught their kids how to do it. There you go. And what happened is out of nowhere, in the second wave, two companies that had never been on in phones came in. Apple had never been, the iPhone had never been in mobile phones. And Google.
I think Nokia was not even in the phone business. They were making shoes for.
Oh, gum boots.
Boots for the Russian army.
They were that part and this part. And it's really important when you look at us to really understand that I understand that we're not part of that world. I really started pushing this company 2 years ago, August, nearly exactly. And people wonder why I didn't do a whole lot of things. And the reason is the market changed. And where the key thing is position us for what's called retail FOMO. It's really important to understand that there is different sorts of organizations.
And it's good that Nick's here, because Nick and I spent time together pioneering in Malaysia at the end of last year. And so when we talk to people and teach people how to get involved in this business, it's very much just this. Because it's like you want it to be so flippin' simple that anyone can do it. Would you agree? It's got to be that simple. But so that sort of thing works, and that's the same. We need to do it. Ben was saying he's now done it. We have it in Australian. We've actually now done it in English. Okay. And so I just took some of the slides. So last Saturday we had our first event in Australia, in the Gold Coast, and I did a bit of a presentation there, okay, where I basically explained. So for those of you that don't know who I am, okay, so my special